Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you that you have given us power. Power through the Word of God. I thank you, Father, for the Word that we're going to hear today. Lord, I thank you that ears pop open, that brains shake open, that it is planted so deep in our hearts, Father, that when we walk out of this place, we are different because your Word transforms. And I thank you, Father, you just helped me get it today. In Jesus' name, amen. I probably had from 7 a.m. till I walked up here, three emergency crises that I dealt with, and my joy. But I thought, oh, Lord, I'm trying to remember what you wanted me to do. So I know I'm going to hear, and we're going to go do this. So Pat, where's my friend Pat? Pat. Lizotte, where's your hand? All right. Maybe she ditched out. All right, she prayed with me, so we'll do fine. All righty, let me get organized here. Just recently, I was reading a minister's report. He and his wife had gone into the country called the Ukraine. That's part of the old Soviet Union. And they went in at a very strategic time. I was just reading their story again. And they went in right after the Berlin Wall went down, when communism was not the favorite and people were allowed to change things. Okay, so they went in and they ministered the gospel. They were able to go in and minister the gospel to people, and they saw people hungry and start to receive. But then they were asked by a friend who knew a surgeon in the capital city. Is that Kiev? I don't know. Okay, the capital city. So they went into their big hospital. And this minister said, I walked through this hospital, and I thought I was in a time warp. I thought I was back in the 30s, or we just threw out all our old junk and gave it to this hospital. And he said it was absolutely amazing what they were doing with such poor situations. So I read that, and it started me thinking, years ago, the first time I went to Haiti, is that Joanne? Did we go once or twice? Once, okay, that's right, because I said, Dear Lord, don't send me back. It was horrific. How many of you guys went on that trip to Haiti? We took like 35 youth. That was terrific, horrific, just in itself. But anyway, let me share seriously. So what had happened is we had spent the first week in Dominican Republic renting a beach house, having fun, and it was just a beautiful place. It wasn't, you know, real over the top, but it was lush, green mountains, and people were so sweet, and I tried my Spanish, and I could get as far as, hola, como estás, muy bien, gracias, you know, it was ridiculous. So, but we had a wonderful time, and then we hopped on this little puddle jumper from one side of the island, one island, guys, just one big island. We hopped over this little airplane, which Jack insisted that he would be co-pilot, and the door is popping open, and I'm screaming in the back, you know, as usual. So we fly over from the Dominican Republic side to the Haiti side, and does anybody know how many miles it is? It's not far. It's not a big island. And as we fly over, you could see a drastic change in just the terrain. This lush green side, all of a sudden, to the Haiti side, was stripped and brown. And it wasn't because, oh, this side of the island is the tropicals and this side is the desert. That is not why. It's why, well, there's a lot of reasons why, but what we later found out was, one, they had just absolutely been dumb and raped the land of its trees. Secondly, and really the most important reason, is just like the Ukraine and the people in the Ukraine, is they were lied to. They were lied and said, God doesn't exist. And in Haiti, they said, voodoo is our religion. And because they were lied to, and they believed that lie, because authorities had given them that lie and actually commanded that, especially in the Soviet Union, there is no God, you will not worship a God, there's no God, da-da-da-da. Because of that lie, they stayed bound up. Okay? They stayed bound up. And that's sad. It's sad to see a country and people all bound up. So what's this have to do with you and me? Because sometimes we get bound up for almost the same things. Now, those people were bound up because someone had lied. And then it was just ingrained in them. It became the culture. It became the mindset, okay, to live like that. That's just the way it was. And I see Christians, and sometimes we're just bound up by our culture, okay? We're bound up by our culture and our beliefs, and a lot of times they're just because we've been handed to them. You know, your great-grandpappy and your pappy and your daddy, and you just keep doing it, okay? So we as Christians, even though we have this, I still see people just kind of stuck in it. Now, the interesting thing part is some of it's just kind of dumb and humorous, such as you've all probably all heard the story about this young bride. She's married, and she's preparing ham dinner. I'll probably just spice this story up, so just laugh with me. But she was going to cook a ham, and she cut the thing in half and put it in the oven. And her new husband, young couple, said, "Honey, why'd you do that?" She says, "Well, because my mama told me to do that. That's the way my mama did it." So he says, "Well, Mama's coming over. Let's go ask her. Mama, why do you," the husband, "why do you always cut that ham up and stick it in the oven?" And she said, "Well, let's go ask Grandma." So they go ask Grandma. "Grandma, why do you cut that ham? Why did you cut that ham up and stick it in the oven?" And what was the answer? And she really gave her the story. She says, "Well, now, I can't remember, but I like my version. Well, we lived in a little old apartment with one of those little old ovens, and the thing wouldn't fit. So you had to cut it in half and stick it in the oven." All right? You can do some dumb things just because it's passed down. Now, he still ate ham. It was still good. But there's no need to cut that thing in half. And we do things because of our culture, because of our beliefs, that are passed down, and they keep us bound up, all right? Now, because of that culture, because of the things passed down, it causes us to think a certain way, and we're not living God's way. We're not living to the best He has for us. And the last couple weeks we were talking that I'm of the seed of Abraham, and I can have the blessings of Abraham, and Abraham was blessed. But if you've had this thing handed down and just ingrained in your head, and you've all of a sudden you wake up and go, "Wow, I am not living in the best. Matter of fact, I'm just barely getting by." It's time to look at what's passed down. Now, what that means usually, if we are been like, "My grandma did it, my mom did it, I did it, and if you don't tell me, my kids are going to do it," we end up with a mindset, all right? And how many of you have read Joyce Meyer's book, Battlefield of the Mind? Great book. It just tears that whole thing upside down inside really good. Sure does. It talks about mindsets. There's another book, and I was talking with Kathy, and we're out of it. So if you don't like the Joyce Myers because you think it's a girl version, get Mac Hammond. He wrote a book called The Soul Control. Whoever controls the soul controls your life. Whoever controls this controls your life. So it's the same thing. But it's interesting. If we have these goofy mindsets, which I like to say, this is my definition, thoroughly mixed, firmly set. That's a mindset. It's set, thoroughly mixed, firmly set. And if you've got some of these mindsets and you are just bound, you're just going to have a hard time. Matter of fact, some of you, we just can't. You can't get past some of these mindsets. You just can't because it's just so mixed and in there, all right? But listen, it's not the way God wants you to live. He doesn't want you, "Well, we always did this way, and I've always done that way, and I'm always going to be stuck this way, and that's just the way it is." Okay, so how do I get past some of these mindsets? How about some of these negative culture mindsets? How about some of these negative beliefs? How do you get past all that? Romans 12. Let's look at it. How do you get past thoroughly mixed, firmly set? How do you get past? Look at Romans 12. Please? Because I'm not there yet. Let me get there. Romans 12, 2. If you guys just want to leave that up, that'd be great, okay? Because we're going to be looking at that. I'm breaking my rules, but I want you, but look at it in your Bible, because I want you to underline about three words. Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not. Underline that part. Do not be conformed to this world, all right? But be transformed by the renewal of your mind, so that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after or adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and its new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable, perfect will of God. All right. So how do we break out of this thing? This is it. Let me read you a couple translations. Phillips, do not let the world around you squeeze you into its own mold. The world will squeeze you into its mold, guys, all right? Good News Translation says, do not conform yourself to the standard of the world. Okay, so I was thinking about standards. We've got standard measurements. Okay, it's what's the standard measurement for a yardstick? 36 inches. That's the standard. Okay, so we've got standards. Now, the word standard means that which is widely recognized as a model of authority. So a bunch of people got together. Now, in Europe, they have a different standard, but here. Okay, a bunch of people got together, an authority, and they said, this is the standard. 36 inches, a yard. Okay, so some authorities said that, and that's what happened. Now, it's really interesting. I'm going to read that good news. Do not conform yourself to the standard of the world. The world has a standard, but it's not God's standard. Oh, my gosh. That is so far away, 90% of the time, 99% all the time, really. It's so far away, the standard that God has, and yet the world expects you, the world expects me to follow, to adapt to the standard. All right? So what are some of those standards? All right, here's one. Oh, it's just a little lie. How about this one? You want to hear world standard? Situational ethics. Bunch of, what's that word I'm not allowed to say? Okay, that's what that is. That's the standard. It's okay. They tell your kids in school, they give you this test. How would you answer this? And anything's right. That's the world standard. All right? We've got world standards that accepted same-sex marriages. Man, the world is slamming that one. All right? And they're trying to make that standard the standard. They're trying. And all these things, the world tries to make a standard your standard. Okay? Now, you don't have to conform to the standard, everybody. Everybody say no. Yeah, that's right. You don't have to. And you don't have to conform to your upbringing, to their standard, to the culture. This is your standard, all right? All right? And so how do you get there? Read that scripture again. Ditch the Amplified, please. Sorry. Thank you, guys. Girls, I got girls back there. Wave, there's Darlene and Kara. Let's embarrass them. Yay! They don't get embarrassed. All right. The King James, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So, how do you get to a higher place? Real simple. You have to transform You have to be renewed, renew your mind to be transformed, okay? So that means you've got to have new ideas. The world is not your new idea. The Word of God is the new idea, the new way, right? That's how you're going to get transformed, all right? Now, question, where does that transformation start? On the outside or the inside? Yeah, it starts on the inside by renewing your thinking with the Word of God. It'll start churning. And that's the only way you're going to change the standard that's been stuck in your brain, okay? So important, the Word of God, so important. All right, now I'm going to read one more, the Message Bible. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture, all right, that you fit into it without even thinking. I don't know where you grew up, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And they had a culture after I got born again, I started to have my kids. We had to brief them before we went to granddad's house. Not this grandparents. These are born again, spirit filled. Man, they just put good things in my kids. I'd leave them there for a year. All right? But when we went to my family, my family had a standard. Woo! Stacy, woo! Some standards, okay? So as I found out, that's not the world standard, was not my standard, and I started renewing my mind and training my kids, I was going to get out of that stuff, okay? Now, question. I'm going to read that. Don't become so well adjusted that you fit in. So the question is, who do you look like? You look like the world? You talk like the world? You think like the world? Not. We're supposed to look different, talk different, and even think different. All right? So, but it's really tough when you've come from a culture. Anybody come from a culture, your family culture, that is way different than what the Bible says? Yep. All right. Now, culture, I'm going to read that Message Bible again. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention and you'll be changed from the inside out. All right. That word culture talks about attitudes. Oh, we have attitudes. and opinions. Oh, we have opinions. And beliefs. Oh my gosh, what my family believed. All right. And their patterns, behavior patterns. Okay, such as you ever go in the United States, if you ever go and you live down south. Anybody live down south, grown up down south? All right. They have different patterns, different beliefs. Matter of fact, I like a lot of theirs. They teach kids manners. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. All right? Now, those are good patterns that they hand down or spank down. Okay? I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. And listen, I'm so sorry to say, because I was born in Brooklyn, raised in North Jersey, and then I went to Tulsa. I saw a difference. People were friendlier down south. Yeah. They don't even care. They don't know you. Hey, how are you? How's your day? And I'm like, oh, gosh. The New Yorker. Whoa. And I told this story. I remember one time Cassie called me up, and she was going to ORU, and she goes, Mom, all I want to do is run into the convenience store, pay for my gas, and they want to ask you, how are you? And she's like, oh, all right, I'm fine. Now just let me get out of here. So you can have good patterns, good opinion, good things that you pass down culturally, all right? Now those Northerners, not. You don't want to pass down. As a matter of fact, I was just driving the other day. I was coming on down Mount Rose Avenue, right where it intersects on 83, and some car just went zoop, zoop. Guess what the license plates were? New York. I just threw my head back going, ah, yep, New Yorker. All right, those are patterns you don't want to. And I was almost a New Yorker, and I didn't do it. I didn't do that. Okay. Now listen, this is time you just look at your life. And you should look at your life every day, and it's always a good life. But sometimes God wants you to grow up out of your culture, get out of some of the patterns, okay? So question you should ask, if I'm not experiencing the best that God has, could it be that I might be stuck in my family culture, the New York culture, okay? The patterns that have been handed down, all right? So when that guy was zipping by, I was like, I'm not in that culture anymore. I have to work. I'm a new creature. I'm filled with the life and nature of God. I'm filled with God's love. I am not curser. I'm a blesser. Amen. I have to work it. Anybody work at that? All right, those are just kind of light ho-hos. But the real things in your life, you might be bound up. So you need to ask yourself, am I walking in that? Then, are you willing to walk away from your culture? Now, the sweet tea, Dolores, no problem. That stuff, down south, their sweet tea, oh my gosh, my fillings are rattling. I don't have a problem walking away from that. But I'm talking about walking away from some of the things in your life that you always do. You always do. Your family always does. That's the way I always do. Are you willing to walk away? Okay. Because God's got blessings for you, all right? Now, if you desire to walk in God's blessing, are you willing to move away from the culture? Now, open up to Genesis chapter 12, because Abraham had to do the same thing. He had to leave a culture, all right? Abraham, just like you all and me all, had to leave an old, thoroughly mixed, firmly set mindset. Very negative. Matter of fact, some of you are going to look really good when you hear about Abraham's family and his culture. You go, man, I'm not so bad. But it was interesting. God commanded him to leave. All right, Genesis 12, verse 1 through 4. Now in Haran, the Lord said to Abram, by the way, Abram is before he had his name changed, Abraham, okay? Same guy. Go for yourself and for your own advantage away from your country, underline that, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you with abundance. Increase favor, oh my gosh, I love it, and make your name famous and distinguished, and you will be a blessing, dispensing good to others. Wow. By the way, I just have to say that. The blessings all over your life is just not for you, all right? The blessings in your life is to tell other people and get them to a place, the same place, all right? All right. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. All right, I'm going to go ahead. So, and verse 4, and so Abram departed as the Lord directed him. Now, what was the first instruction God gave Abram? Get out of Dodge City. I was an old cowboy and indie girl. So if you ever watch that, get out of Dodge City. That God was really specific. Get out of your country. Well, why? Why get out of your country? Why get away from your family? Some of you going, oh, yeah, Pastor D, I know why we got to get away from my family. But no, there were some reasons. And why get out of your father's house? All right, why? Well, number one, his dad, Terah, T-E-R-A-H, did I get that right? Not your daughter, Terah. Like, how does she spell her name? Yes, good. Okay. Abram's father, Terah, was an idol worshiper. And I found two translations. One said he worships the sun. One said he did the moon. I didn't care. He's worshiping idols, okay? So he grew up in a culture. They did not know God, And if you're an idol worshiper, they used to do some wacky things too. Then you didn't honor God. Not only did you not know the true God, you didn't even honor him. And that was deep inside of Abram. That was his culture. And you got to know that culture will affect your thinking, right? It'll affect your beliefs. It'll affect what you pass on. So God said, get out of Dodge City. You need to leave. And that is why. Now, why? I love the word. I love like the two-year-old. Why? Why? Because God had a lifestyle planned out from Abraham to be a blessing. And he knew. Now, let me back up. God wasn't against his family. God is not against families. But God knew, all right? He knew that Abraham was firmly mixed, stuck in some culture. He knew he had to get away from it, all right? So that's why he said, get out. Get out of Dodge City. All right, so he knew that God had planned Abraham to be the father of faith, the father of the Jewish nation. And if he stayed there, that was not going to happen. So he said, get out. All right, and he also recognized this guy is really bound up. If he stays, he's just going to have a hard time. He won't do what he needs to do. All right, now that's kind of the problem with us. There's a bunch of us, and I have areas in my life that the Lord speaks to. He says, you're stuck in your culture, and you need to get out. All right, you need to get out, and you need to renew your mind. That's how you'll get out. All right? So if you've got, and you're seeing, I am not the blessing. God said I'm supposed to be the blessing. You probably are still in your country, and you need to get out. Now, I don't want you moving out of York County. I drive by around York County all the time, and I see businesses that are for sale, and I go, Father, I thank you that you bring in new business, that we're prospering, that we'll be a hub of places where people come and have jobs and have families. So I don't want you to leave York County, but you need maybe to leave the county of your thinking, all right? You may, and the Lord, I'm not telling you my laundry today, but the Lord pointed out one of my thinking countries of thinking, and he said, Dee, you need to get out. I was like, oh. Okay, now, I remember when we first moved to West King Street, we lived in a duplex, and the next duplex over, Tom and Chris moved in. And Chris's husband, Tom, was an electrician, and they bought their duplex from this old widow lady who had died, and her family sold it. The family sold Chris and Tom this. And what we came to know through the family and the rest of the story is that this woman grew up in the Great Depression. Okay? And she grew up in this Great Depression, you walked in her house, and it was in a time warp. It still looked like it was in the Great Depression. Praise God they had indoor plumbing. But we found out from the family, what would happen was Tom's the guy. Chris, sorry about that. Tom was the electrician, so he's rewiring this old house. And he's pulling up floorboards. He finds money shoved in floorboards all over the house. This lady didn't believe in the banks, and she didn't believe in spending her money. But it found out. So Tom was such, and Chris were such good sweethearts. They called the family up and returned the money to the family. Well, I was sitting there thinking, oh, and I thought of that one. All right, oh, I got one of those things going on in my life here. Okay, now listen. This lady, as you look at a mindset based on the culture at that time, she had a depression. We call them depression baby mindset. She lived bound. And it turned out they found thousands of dollars shoved under these floorboards. And she lived in this, I mean, it just needed some updating, all right? So people can live bound up, right? All right? Thing is, you need to ask, Lord, am I bound up? All right? Do I have a restrictive mindset? Now, I thought about this after I was preparing last night, and I was laying in bed and just kind of chewing on all this. I said, oh, my gosh, Lord, I had to get out of Dodge City. You led me out of Dodge City. I didn't even know it. Okay, in 1972, my parents dropped me off in September at York College. I had a crash course on how to do a checkbook, and they shoved me out the door and gave me hugs and kisses, and I cried. Okay, and then I went to college, and we won't go into all that. But my third year, I met the Lord Jesus. He'd been knocking on my door, and I just was, now I know that he'd been knocking on my door and calling me for a long time. So I just barely got born again. I should say, I just barely had understanding of what happened to my life. And then I meet the Cashmans, and then I meet their hot son, Jack, okay? And we get married in 77, and we go to Penn State for a year, and we get into the Bible. Wow. I started renewing my mind and found out my culture was, the standard was really bad. Of course, I kind of knew that, but I was ignoring that. And it was interesting. I actually knew when I got born again, I thought about it. I knew in my heart that God said, you can't go back to the standard of your family. Listen, my folk, they weren't bad people. I told you my dad played the ponies and all that fun stuff, you know. But they weren't bad people. And they didn't beat us and, you know, bad, you know. They spanked us. They spanked your behind, okay? But they were good folk. But you know what? They'd never, never encountered the Word of God, Jesus. They were just stuck in their culture. And if I were to stay there, I'd be stuck in it too. And I thank God that he said, get out of Dodge City, marry this man, and I'll get you out of here, okay? But and it was interesting as I look back and I look at my brothers and sisters, and, you know, I've shared that one died of an overdose. The second one, I think, might have died of an overdose. One died of alcoholism. How am I down to? It's me and Liz. Okay, and I'm planning to live in long. And I really thought, God, if I had not gotten out of Dodge City, I would have been stuck there too. All right? So when God tells you to change your culture, don't throw your family out, but start renewing your mind. Okay? Start renewing your mind. Amen. Now, it's so interesting, though, you know, when I first started renewing our mind and Jack and I get in the Word and we'd come and preach really ridiculously, beat my family over, you know, not the right way of preaching to them and sharing Jesus. We did some things really backwards. But we did them out of zealousness. You know, we're just so happy to be born again. And then, you know, we got a little bit smarter. And it was really interesting as we started renewing our mind and the blessings of God, just joy entered my life, just joy and blessings and good things, and they were slow to come to pass. My family started to see that. Now before, especially after we went to Penn State for a year and then we moved out to Tulsa and Jack was going to go to Bible school, my parents, my mom thought we were a bunch of nuts. Wait a minute, he needs to finish his degree. That's the stupidest thing you'll ever do. She called me stupid. Okay, you know those parents. And they just really labeled us. And I know my ears were burning every time we left what they thought of us. But in time, as we changed our standard, as we changed the way we thought, the way we talk, the way we act, the way we live, guess who they call up when they got in trouble? The nuts. Yeah, they still called us that. I don't know, I think they called us holy rollers, but I was just so naive. I didn't even hear all of it. But Jesus freaks, that's what we were back then. Yes, that sounded much nicer. But you know what? That's who they called. And you know why? Because they saw that we'd moved out of Dodge. They saw the blessings of God in our life. They saw just great things. And I remember this too. I probably give you too much information sometimes, but it was my mom had passed away when I was like 27, 28. I just turned 28. I just had Sherry. She was only about 9 months old. And then a couple years later, Dad was talking about his will. And he said, because he saw us, our lives change. And listen, it's only because we renewed our mind to the Word of God and acted on it. But he said, I'm not leaving you nothing. You know why? Because Jack will always do good and he'll take care of you. But the rest of those bums, I got to leave them some money. You know what I saw? I saw that my dad saw. I saw that my dad saw the blessing of God on our life. Now, it kind of ticked me off. I had a little fit. But you know what? I found out later, a couple years later, he passed away. He never signed that will. I was in the first one where everything was divided easily, evenly, okay? So don't sweat. But, you know, I remember I said this many times. He gave my husband and myself the greatest compliment. The world is looking at you. And the greatest compliment is, they'll always do good. Now, I'm not sure, at that time he didn't know why, but we tried telling them why. So, anyway, I'll tell them why. Okay. All right. And, you know, as I look back, and I know a bunch of you for many years, how many of you would say, I'm blessed, I'm different. The Word of God has been working in my life. Man, some of you, I know you guys long time. And even though we've had situations that were not great, not fun, pretty bad, I've still watched you come out through the other side because you've renewed your mind that God said you are the blessed, the favor of God's on your life in every area, all right? So keep on doing it. But occasionally you have to take inventory and say, you know, how come I'm not seeing this blessing? And you have to look at your life, all right? And you have to look at your culture and things passed down. Okay, now, obviously, you know that it'll take some work. Yeah, it's going to take some work. And it'll take some stick-to-it-ness with the Word of God. It does. It's just not like those kids. Pastor D, I read my Bible once. I'm good for life. No, you will get into the Word of God. And in the back corner, we've got these little topical confessions of specific areas. And I would have those things plastered all over my house. And I would just renew my mind to what God said about me, about my circumstances. It wasn't based on what I saw because, oh my gosh, what I saw was bad. But I would renew my mind. I get this in here, and I just renew it. How many of you are still renewing your mind? Yeah, we're still at it. Amen. Okay, now, there's a price to pay. It is not automatic. Just like it's so soon, in Jesus' name, it's soon summertime. So that means if you want that beach body, there is a price to pay. And I'm just not into paying that price. I'm not going to be your poster child, okay? All right, okay, where am I going, but? Okay. But a lot of people are like that. They're not willing to pay the price, renew their mind, put some effort to it, all right? And there's a price you have to do. It's a good thing. Matter of fact, I just read, or did I read or hear, Andrew Womack. He said, I was so convicted. That's right. He said, I read my Bible. I was in high school, and I'd go home from 9 o'clock at night to like 1 in the morning and read my Bible for my mind. And listen, if you don't know Andrew Womack, just type it in, Google him. He is doing, because he's so changed by the Word of God. He's got a Bible school going. He puts out material. It's great. It took a lot of effort. It took some stick-to-itness. So it's going to take some stick-to-itness, all right? Now, if you don't want to pay the price, you might be this. I got a couple people. I'll close my eyes. I got a couple. They're not here. I got a couple people. They call me up like once a week, a couple of times. Oh, Pastor D, pray for me. I got a hangnail. Pastor D, I got a boo-boo. Pastor D, listen, I love praying for you. But this person's been in the Lord 30, maybe 40 years. All right? It's time to put some effort and stick-to-itness. That lady should be praying for other people. She shouldn't be calling me up all the time, right? I love you, I love you, I love you. Just know I love you, okay? All right? But if you've been born again more than a year, you should be picking up the phone and telling somebody. Really, really more than a day. First off, you need to testify what Jesus did to your life. Amen. All right. So I have to think, when I think of this particular person, I got a couple of them, is that they've not renewed their mind. They've not applied stick-to-itness, so they don't know nothing. They're forever asking somebody else. You know, it's sort of like, could you do the work for me? We'll do that for a while, but what happens if I don't answer the phone? You're in deep trouble. All right, so you need to get desire and stick-to-itness. But some people just don't want. And I remember this. Phil and Ruth and Jim, you remember Dietz Rottrick? Mighty man of God. Mighty in love. You'd get near him and he'd say the name of Jesus and he'd cry. And he came from Germany. He had this cute accent. But he was also very intimidating to me because I didn't even know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when I first met Dietz. And I remember this. Let me just preface again. Some people, I don't understand why, they don't want to change. Their culture is so much that they like it, that they don't want to change. And this one time, Dietrich saw this young girl in a wheelchair, and he said, he was very polite, he says, "May I pray for you? God will heal you." And I knew a little bit of the background on how she was in that wheelchair. It was from an accident. And she said, I think he started. You know, sometimes we say, "Well, is it all right if I pray for you?" And then we just start. We don't wait for the yes or no. I think that's sort of what happened. And he started to pray for her, and she grabbed that wheelchair. She started to get up. The healing power of God was on her. She started to get up, and then she grabbed back that wheelchair and sat down. Do you know why? Boy, we talked about this for a long time. She didn't want to change her culture. And I later in years understood why. Doesn't mean I agree with it, but what had happened is she'd lived a horrible life, just abandoned, rejected, abused, and then had this accident. I think it was a gunshot wound. I really don't remember the details. Sherry says, "Mom, you need to remember these details." I said, "Whatever." But what had happened is she got comfortable, listen to this, in the attention that she got. And she got money for disability. Yep, if she knew if God would heal her, she wouldn't get money. That broke my heart for a long time. I still think on that. I still think of that, and that's been 30 years ago. I don't want to ever be so comfortable. Are you comfortable in the icky things in life? Don't get that way. Just say, "God, I know you have best for me. I am going to dig, and I'm going to say, and I'm going to dig, and I'm going to live, and I'm going to change my thinking," because I don't want to ever get stuck with that. That was so sad. But you'll run across people that will be like that, and you just love them. We had a conversation this morning about those kind of people. Yep, broke your heart. But we love them when we pray for them. We're commanding darkness off of their life. Jackie and I are praying about something, a situation sort of like that. All right? So, guys, it's so important. It's so important to have your mind renewed so you can be transformed, so you can be a light to dark places. And this is our attitude. Remember Jesus' mother, Mary? She went to the wedding in Cana. Remember that story? And the servants are like, "Oh, we're out of wine. Woo! What should we do? And this is what she said. "Whatever he says, you do it. Whatever he says, you do it." Everybody say that. Whatever he says, you do it. That's got to be our motto. Whatever he says, you do it. All right? And listen, God guarantees his word. He's a guarantor. You do it, you start transforming your culture, come out, get out of Dodge, change your thinking. God will guarantee his word. He's the guarantor. All right. And you know what all that says? If that's your motto, that means you are an OBEY, obeyer, okay? Because when you decide that I'm going to do what he says to do, you're going to walk in a life of obedience. And obedience always has a reward. So stand up, would y'all please? Okay? Let's see. Hallelujah. So how many of you are ready? Ready to walk out of your old culture, maybe out of your old mindsets, maybe out of some old opinions? How many of you are ready? All right. This is what it'll take. All right. Amen. Father, I thought you saw hands go up. Father, you saw that people are ready. And you are a guarantor of your word, that if we'd plant the word in our heart, it will produce. And I'm going for 100-fold. How many of you? Amen. Amen. So, Father, I thank you that people's hearts are prepared and they're hungry and they're stick-to-it people, Father. And as they change, Lord, I thank you. People will see the light in your life, and you can tell them and they'll want to know, what makes you so different? I used to think you were a nut, but how come you're different? And you can say, listen, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So everybody say, to him be all the glory. Amen.